This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Eric Mtimkulu joins us. For example, to come get a Radio K Pulpit.
Greetings to you, Tata Hasmini, and greetings to all the listeners.
Little Tuba Mfundisi, left voice, says Libala, Moyen. How have you been? Kopanjani, Pansquez Meko, the COVID-19, Akumbingoku, the third wave, the wave got Delta.
Yeah, and it's been a tough season. It's been a tough season for everyone. You know, so many people losing loved ones. So this is a tough season. So many people still unwell, and some still in hospital. And so forth. And so it is a tough season for everybody out there. And I think we have to keep our eyes on Christ in this moment, you know, just like what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 3, mm-hmm. you know. Yep. But we just have to really, you know, keep our eyes towards the goal, you know, with the upward call of God in our lives. And I think the second thing that really we ought to do is to serve one another, serve our neighbors, love our neighbors, care for our neighbors. You know, and I think that's an important thing that we can do, you know, in terms of what we're going through, is really to be a community of love, a community that cares for each other.
Mm. 100%. Thanks for that, Funis. And I think, masimthanda umelane wethu lixesha lipractical ngokuba siyibonakalise okokuthanda kwethu umelane wethu funa siphuma kunyanga kaJulayi just yesterday nyanga leyo phakathi kwento ezininzi siqwalaselwa ngoJulayi kuqwalaselwa i-mental health yafika kabuhlungu kwixesha esikulo le-COVID-19 uxinzelelo ngokanye ipressure ininzi ngakumbi kunakuqala and sixa siphuma kulo nyanga leyo phakathi kwento enozibala ezenza abantu i-mental state yabo iphazamiseke indima ye-failure indima yothi kawuqala into ubunomdla uyibona into yokuba kwii-projections zakho mhlawumbi ndawuthiwa ndiqale ngojanuwari phaako kwathi kubethwa July ndibe sendisendaweni ethile and amaxesha mani izinto zihambe ngale ndlela besicebe ngayo and so then there becomes an aspect of having to deal with the reality yoba le nto ubuzama uyenza iphumelelanga. And, you know, we can talk about failure from a personal point of view. Also, we can, particularly, namhlanje sabe sijonga also failure in ministry. Kubantu abazinkokheli emabandleni. Ndiyacingela umfundisi. How would you define, mhlambi, a failure?
Yeah, and so I think I'm going to speak about it, but also I think from a broader perspective, for many of us, we would see failure as not being able to attain or to achieve what we had set ourselves to achieve. In one sense or the other.
Yeah.
But I think I want to begin this way to say that we live in a culture that is so much success-driven, in fact. And I think what I think we ought to not to forget is that we have to, in one way or the other, start liberating ourselves from the success syndrome, especially from a ministry perspective. I speak from that context, especially from a ministry perspective. And I think the other third question that I think we need to ask ourselves is, what is ministry success, in fact?
Okay.
So if I say I'm successful as a minister, what does that mean from a biblical perspective, as well as failure? What does failure mean from a biblical perspective? And I think if we can begin to grapple and ponder on those questions, I think we might sometimes find ourselves in fact that we have not failed at all, but it is just our outlook that it is a thing that we have failed. Now consider, from a general perspective, you know, consider people like Steve Jobs, you know, consider people like Oprah, you know, Winston Churchill and William Wilberforce, who was a missionary. And all of these guys failed at one point or the other, if you know their stories. You would know that they failed multiple times. And often when we talk about them, or even William Wilberforce, we do not talk about their failures as so much often we talk about their success.
Yeah.
And failing to remember that, in fact, before they got to where they are, they had failed a number of times.
Mm.
But the difference is, to some extent, I think they did know how to handle failure and how they were able to move forward. There was a quote that I read from, you know, from Roosevelt a few days back, And he says the following, that the only man who has never made a mistake is a man who has never done anything. I love that.
Sure.
You know, so if you don't want to fail, really just keep quiet and absolutely do nothing. And so in this life, in this journey of life, we are going to miss some goals at times. You know, we are going to have some tremendous setbacks, you know, and this is going to happen. And sometimes we're not going to achieve what we want. And that's the nature of life, you know, and some of these men have gone through and some of them have gone through this. And for some of us, when we don't get to that place, we then say, oh, but I have failed because I failed to attain a certain thing.
Yep.
Now, that's just the introduction. Now, let me move then to what you want me to talk about, which is really this issue of ministry failure.
Yes.
Now, every time we think about ministry and we think about failure, the first thing that comes to our mind normally, is that we will think of moral failure, normally.
Yeah.
And sometimes you will find that we then think about, you know, this pastor had an issue of moral failure. You know, there was an easy pay. Maybe there was an affair. Maybe there was plagiarism. You know, maybe he misused the money. You know, there was issues of spiritual abuse and so forth.
Yeah.
And so every time we think about ministry failure, we think an individual has done something.
Yeah.
That's why, therefore, then the ministry did not go well. And so all these number of things that have happened is because this person has failed. But often that is not the case, and biblically so, sometimes that is not the case, not because the leader has committed any moral failure at all. The leader could have been someone who is faithful to their calling. It could have been someone who is preaching the gospel. It could have been even someone who loves the people to which they lead.
Mm.
But they get to a point in their lives where something goes wrong.
Yeah.
Not so much sometimes personally in a sense, but also ministry-wise in a sense, but they feel so crippled and overwhelmed and feel like a total failure.
Mm.
Let me give you an example.
Yeah.
A few years ago, I attended an ordination. I think it was Pastor Jonas that was the the candidate.
Yeah.
Before the pastor who was running the ordination, before he preached, he opened up a letter to us who were listening, and he started to read a story of a pastor who was quitting ministry.
Mm.
It's an interesting thing. This is an ordination. I thought that was amazing.
Mm.
This is an ordination of someone who's going to step into ministry. The man is reading a letter of a pastor who feels like a failure.
Mm.
And Correct.
Mm.
Correct. And it was such a wonderful letter. I love that he did that.
Mm.
But the letter, you know, as he begins to read the letter, just we realize, you know, that this man, you know, as a result, there was no issue of moral failure.
Mm.
There was none of those things. He just said, I can't do this anymore.
Sure.
I just can't do this anymore. And as a result, I have decided to step down.
Mm.
And this is someone who's leading a ministry. And so often when we think about failure, from a ministry perspective, firstly, it's not to think about something has happened or sin has come in and all sort of thing. And sometimes it could be just that, it's just not working out.
Yeah.
And therefore, because it's not working out, I will not be able to continue with this. Now, on the flip side of that now, is that sometimes when we experience struggles and disappointments in ministry, not only do they lead to us being discouraged because, you know, we're facing those challenges, and sometimes it's that we can not see the failure as external, but we can start to see ourselves as a failure. So not just that, you know, this matter didn't work out, but I've started to personalize the matter to make myself what the matter is. In other words, I see myself as a total failure because something did not work out. And then we start to believe the lies.
Yeah.
And those are the lies of the enemy. You start to feel inadequate, even though you know that the Lord has called you to do that work. And you start to personalize that, and then it can lead to other mental illness, sort of things that you know, like stress, and many others have even depression.
Yes.
And for many other pastors, it does even lead to a situation of suicide because you have started to personalize what has happened, and then you start to believe God's So you start to believe the enemy's lie instead of believing God's truth.
Sure.
And God's truth is that we allow Him and to be in ministry, even when He has failed,
mm-hmm.
or things have not gone out as we think, you know, in our lives. And so I want us to have that high view as we think about this, because these are the realities that many of the leaders are dealing with on a day-to-day.
Yes.
And the challenge with that is that often as a leader, I measure my own success by what my neighbor, by what my neighbor has been able to achieve. So for me, I measure my faith by what my neighbor has been able to achieve.
Okay.
And so because I don't have a building, because I don't have, a church that makes 20 hours in a month, I don't have the latest car, I don't have any of these things, and I don't have a 5,000 membership. And so because I'm looking at what the neighbor has been able to, by God's grace, receive from God, and then I see myself, but mine is not working out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a total failure with my 10, 15, and 20 people. And so, and I think from a ministry perspective, that's what becomes very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't measure success that way from a ministry point of view.
Yep.
We are measuring success from a ministry perspective by making disciples. Are you equipping the saints to be able to live out the commands of Christ in this world? You know, and so, which is totally different mindset from what is being able to be accumulated in the physical. And so often as pastors, we can, even though we don't want to admit at times, you know, we can be in that position where we feel, perhaps I'm failing because this is not becoming what, now listen to this, what I want it to become.
Yes.
And so because I have my own imagination in terms of what it should be. And so if it's not getting there, I feel that I have failed.
Yep.
And then you see what the problem is, it was about you. It is the I.
Oh,
it is what
exactly.
You wanted to make
sure.
It to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rather than focusing on what God would have you do, which is a totally different thing. Okay. And so I think, and these things are real, Dr. Hasmin. They are real.
Yes, yes,
you know, when you talk to pastors, you know, when you talk to leaders, for example, the first question they ask you, what's your church membership? So these are the conversations, Pastor. Not that we're going to pray first, but hey, what's your church membership?
Yeah.
You know, how is it going? You know, so all sorts of things.
In the interest of being curious, the question, Funiswam. For curiosity's sake, like question, ilandula indoni, ilandula iweighty, you know, your voice yakho in this setup or in this meeting. Umzekele, you know, as Lali indoda engenankomo, okanye nenkomo enesibayisi emde, ayithethi kakhulu.
Yes. In fact, I used a similar example today, you know, as we were talking that you know when you have family meetings and the you know you're planning a funeral, you know when you don't give anything towards, you know, really your voice is limited. You know, what if the family says, I can also see hands alone?
You must
be careful. So, we need to prepare. And I guess to some extent, we need to gauge ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because you would notice that, you know, more power is given to those with more influence.
Yeah.
But also with more followers and so forth, and that is why even when you go to certain committees being made by, you know, whether it's pastors committee and so forth, normally the guys that will be asked to lead are guys normally who have more influence than others.
Yeah.
And so that's where often that question will come from. Now let me go to the cure before I run out of time. There's so much I wanted to say, but let me go to the cure.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things that, especially from a ministry perspective, is that we have to constantly and continually fix our eyes on Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Okay. We have to.
Yes, sir.
Now imagine if you were reading Philippians chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul says, you know, he says, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. And I think that is the mentality from a ministry perspective that we need to have. Imagine if the Apostle Paul would continue to visit his sins. Continue to visit the things that he did.
Sure.
Continue to visit the fact that he was there when Stephen died.
Mm.
Now imagine if he did that.
Mm.
But what the Apostle Paul begins to encourage the church is that, no, 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 no. Focus to what lies ahead, not just what is here. And so from a ministry perspective, we have to be those who, by the power of the Spirit, direct our eyes upon Jesus and put and take our eyes off ourselves. The problem that we have is self.
Sure.
If we can defeat self, there are many things we can defeat. The issue we have is self. You know, I love Charles Spurgeon. You know, I think Spurgeon said, you know, if someone accuses you of something, and even though you know that you've not done it, he says, listen to me, even if they accuse you, know this, you are worse than what they are saying. Not just what they are saying. Even if you're innocent, you're worse than that. It's because he was talking about our indwelling sin, you know, in terms of who we are. And so on a constant basis, we have to, you know, as a church, know that we are being called by the grace of God and empowered by God. You know, therefore, failure should not prevent us from receiving the glorious grace of Christ. Okay? And so the problem is that sometimes from a ministry perspective, we always evaluate ourselves by what we did and what we did not accomplish. Those are the two things. Okay? What we think we did or what we think we did not accomplish. And therefore, we're constantly being haunted by this because we had a certain expectation. And so now we did not reach that expectation. And so our safety is to take ourselves off the equation and put our eyes on Christ. Know that what we do, first and foremost, it is not about us. It is about Christ and his kingdom.
Yep.
And our job is to manage what he has asked us to manage. And so if we can start to have that mentality, I think we are likely to think differently about failure and what we've not been able to achieve. Okay. So we must therefore measure success and measure success by the fact of that have you been faithful. That is from a biblical perspective.
Okay.
That's why we read in the book of Timothy, well done, good and faithful.
Yes. Servant.
That's it. Not servant, faithful servant. And so the measuring rod for success from a biblical perspective is not the 5,000 membership. It is not the latest. There's nothing wrong with this thing, by the way. The Lord grants you them. But you don't measure success that way. Okay? You measure the fact, have you been faithful? Have you been faithful to the gospel? Have you been faithful to Christ? You know, and this is true success from a biblical point of view. Okay? And the reason it is difficult for us to hold on to these words is because often we have our own selfish ambitions and selfish ideas to gratify our own sinful desires. That's the problem.
Sure.
And that's the big deal. And so we have to, you know, constantly, therefore, you know, forsake this voice that's going to haunt us in condemnation about our failure, you know, and continually to know as pastors that we have, in fact, not failed, that Jesus is pleased with us. So the question is God pleased with that pastor that quit ministry? Most definitely. If that man was faithful to God, most definitely God is pleased.
Sure.
And so the whole point as we look at ministry is that we must forget what is behind, run with endurance towards the Savior, press on towards faithfulness. You know, and people who are mature are people who start to think this way.
Yeah.
Okay. So that is why it is often the reason we feel like failure, said Hasmin, the root cause. So I didn't want to talk about symptoms today. I want to talk about the root cause.
Mm-hmm.
The root cause of us to feel like failures is because we've taken ministry to be ourselves. What we think it needs and what we think it should accomplish. And when none of those things happen, we feel like failures. Even though God does not call us failures. Okay. Now, obviously, this would be something different from someone who's dealing with moral failure and so forth. So yeah, I'm talking about faithfulness. Now, I know that I'm running out of time. Two more things I want to say.
Yes.
And then I'm going to, you know, even when you read the Bible, for example, you see a man like Abraham dealt with failure because you know that he should have stayed, you know, in the land, and then he fled to Egypt because there was drought. Even when he gets to Egypt, what does he do? He lies.
He lies.
You know, and Nelly, that his wife nearly married Pharaoh. In fact. That happened, you know. And so look at Moses, for example, who also ran ahead, you know, he ran ahead of the Lord, you know, and killed the Egyptians. Not only that, but because of the pressure, he also struck the rock in his anger.
Yeah.
You know? What about David? when he was supposed to be in the battlefield. He stayed home, committed adultery with Bathsheba, and not only that, and also plotted murder of her husband.
Mm.
You know, what about Peter himself? You know, a man who was always seen to be close to the Lord, is one of the main disciples of the Lord. Yet in the Lord's difficult hour, well, this was the man that denied him. Mm. You know, so did any of those men, because of what they had gone through, simply quit? Did David quit? We know that even though his life, you know, was difficult until the end, but this is the man, you know, when Luke writes about him in the book of Acts, he says, David, a man after God's own heart, you know. But this man had made some failures and some blunders along the way, but still, this was a man after God's own heart.
Mm.
And so from a biblical perspective, you know, the Christian life, that has been, we must admit, there are times of defeat.
Yeah.
There are times of distress.
Yeah.
There are times of pain. There are times where, as a pastor, you don't feel like waking up and going to church because you are so discouraged.
Mm.
We must admit as well that because we are human beings, there are times where you feel you have your own ambitions, you want something to succeed, and sometimes you feel like this thing is just not working out.
Yeah.
We must admit our emotions and not hide as though all things are going well at times. Sometimes we feel that way. As why have certain doors been closed? Why has, you know, when we were expecting something, this is going to happen, it did not happen. You know, we sit in places of discouragement when those things happen to us as well. You know, and so even though that's the case, we must know again that Jesus, by his grace, you know, has defeated sin, victory over sin, has accomplished more for us on the cross.
Yeah.
That is our place of safety. That is our place of security. That we should know that we will fail at times. We might even sin at times, but God does not see us on the basis of that. Every day, we have to continue to apply the grace of God in our lives and be gracious to ourselves, because really, the remedy for failure is the grace of God. To know that God still accepts us, even when we failed in certain things that we were supposed to do, and those things did not go that way. But even so, the grace of God still really calls us to God himself. And so the last thing I want to say, let's not make failure an idol.
Okay.
We should not.
Okay.
Equally, let's not make success an idol. That's why there are two terms that I generally don't like. The term winner and the term loser. From a church perspective, I hate those terms. Because there's nothing about a winner from a church perspective. There's nothing about a loser from the church perspective. Those terms are fine for secular world, but there are no winners. Equally, there are no losers from a church perspective. All of us have been called by the same grace, belonging to the same God, and our job is therefore to become servants to the one who has called us. That's why we are here. And so God is sovereign over our failings. God is really constantly weaving his plan, even when it does not make sense to us, quietly weaving his plan and calling us to what he would have us do in this world. And so I want us to, as I close, just to hold on really to what is true, to what is biblical, and take ourselves off the equation. And I think that's going to be a cure for failure, knowing that the biggest remedy is really realizing that the grace of God constantly calls us to God himself. He does not reject us because we fail. Equally, I don't want us to hide and say we never feel like failures at times. At times we do.
Mm.
At times we do. We go through the distress that some of the psalmists also went through, like David. We go through that, where we feel like we still have not done what God had wanted us to do. We feel that we at times, but we don't stay in that place. We also need to move and know that his love is unfailing towards us. And perhaps we may rejoice again in his salvation and begin to sing a new song. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Funis, Klami, we're going to end on a slightly different note. I mean, as you were talking, I was just making, you know, some notes, and that I was hoping we're going to be questions to you, but Upele uziphendula, and maybe now they're going to just be reflections and takeaways.
Sure.
The one part is, you know, we feel so hard about failure because we made it about ourselves. That's the one thing you said. You know, it's ingam and the ministry dim, and perhaps also the other thing that we don't look at in that case is what happens to feel emna. you know, or where when I can no longer function, you know, I get if man is cool, what happens? You know, so it, those are things we don't really think about. And also, I think the other important one, and we made a joke about it, but in reality, I think these questions around your membership, around, you know, when Zanjani, when in the Zinjal, they do kind of exert pressure. Kwezi ingo kele sakulayo, kanyi ingo kele mtambi, emundu kakate, beti shana nezi ndo, le question ive limenza kromba chile, anka sebe enzi mwasa. As long as he already can pressure be sell corner. And I think also mfundi, yeipi ndi mtambi nuti lalwe, kabazalwane, kanyi mtambi, at least the leadership in the church, just to support mfundi, so that anga finishing ati ngumtualo wake. Because I know not zonke inkonzo ziba nazo i elders kanye mhlambi zibe nazo deacons kanye leadership structures ezinye inkonzo mhlambi to their detriment umfundisi ba ngeyedwa okhokhelayo wenza zonke izinto.
Good question, Sir Hasim. I think let me start with the first one, what you talked about. You know, this pressure from, you know, some of the younger pastors might be meeting with those who are already successful. And I think the other danger there, as I was thinking about what you are saying, is that that is why sometimes a man who has started well in ministry as Bonio Twala. Because Goku as a Zindo have been dangled up from Gwaki all the time. You know, and there can be that pressure now, you know, and then it was the right command in the things you made, as an example. You know, and then turning up on no pastor ban, you know, and all these sort of things. And then I'm going by him and he called it easy and kinda either. And then the guy starts to take a totally different route now, you know. And that's for money, that's the first danger there. So I think there are a number of ways that members can support their pastors. I think first and foremost is what the Bible describes to us. Pray for your leaders. I think that's the first one. That's the first one. Leaders need prayers. And I think it is not just leaders saying need prayers. God even commands the members to pray for their leaders, you know. And you know, and then it says, don't make their job difficult. That's the second thing. I know in the book of Hebrews, don't make their job difficult. Don't make it hard for them to lead you. In other words, be a less troublemaker. That's what it's saying. You know, don't be a troublemaker for the sake of being a troublemaker. You know, kumusa la tati avalanchumayelo ati yamba kushu abanye be you know, only to look abany ababan is 2 so
guess.
Because your guess in going to think on the
2 days.
Utabani Basunubu shoes, but no,
you know,
Kumulaju guess. So it's true that what the guy is saying. You know, so don't be a troublemaker for the sake of being a troublemaker. And I think the third thing, check on your pastor. Now, phone them, check on how they are doing. And I think often, the reason I'm saying that, Fatima, when people call pastors, they call them to tell them their problems.
Yes.
Normally.
Yes.
You know, this is what is happening. Pastor, please come. Pastor, do this. They have to call. They call the pastor and check on how are you doing.
In fact,
pastor, not how are you doing only, but how are your kids?
Yes.
Pastor, how is your wife? How are things at home and so forth? So there are a number of practical ways I think, you know, people look after their leaders, and sometimes it can be practical needs depending on context.
Yes.
You know, that people can sometimes bless their pastors in different ways. So I think, but primarily those ones that I've mentioned, I think. Really, and I think that they mean a lot to every single leader.
Sure. No, thanks for that. And I think, I mean, I know we're out of time, but I just want to squeeze in one, if not two questions.
So,
you mentioned grace, God has graced you, God has got sufficient grace in whatever. And but also you must be able to apply the same grace in your own self. In don't learn a bit difficult to when one has encountered failure. And I know, so you clarify, Lindobana, in don't learn about thing about failure, it's because we think ministry is about us. But one time Omnia will argue, but no, I'm quite clear that, you know, this thing is not about me. I'm coming in as a servant. But I feel some kind of responsibility to this work I'm doing. And so when it does not work out, I do feel some kind of guilt. And yeah. what makes it so difficult for one to forgive themselves? What do you think?
Apart from just the first one you've mentioned, the second one is the people. You know, when the Apostle Paul writes to the church of Thessalonica, you know, he mentions two things. He says, you know, we did not only share the gospel with you, we shared our lives with you.
Hey.
You know, and then he goes further to talk about, you know, that even though others may call us sort of false teachers and false apostles, but you know our work that we've done amongst you.
Mm.
So our evidence is you. And so we must never take lightly interrelational relationships of the church and the people. So wherever sometimes we feel like failures, often in my mind, I'm not only thinking that I've disappointed God, but I'm thinking I've disappointed the Khasmin. I've disappointed the Tadu Zimem. I've disappointed the Tadu Mled.
Sure.
That hit hard.
Mm.
I've disappointed my wife
sure.
at home. You know, and that's being honest. That's being vulnerable. That's being honest. So my thing is that there are people who are looking up to me. There are men and women and kids who are looking up to me. And I've disappointed all of these people.
Mm.
And I'm going to see them all the time. And so as I see them, it's as though that failure is being pressed in my heart, you know, because I keep on thinking about it. And I think that is where we battle from this, because we're not only sharing the gospel, we are sharing our lives together.
Yes.
And so that's why that unforgiveness from the pastor's side becomes so hard. And you feel like you need counsel yourself. You need someone to counsel you, you know, through this emotion and feelings. And which is why pastors also need to talk to people and talk to someone, because we can hit ourselves so hard about this. Now, and sometimes that has been, you know, sometimes you feel it's not even you sometimes. I feel that marriage could have been saved. Did I do enough?
Mm.
Did I do enough to help these guys through this process?
Did I fail them
as a pastor, you know, when they needed me? Now they think they're getting divorced. So it's not even happening to me, but because these guys are part of the church and I love them and we are family. And so I see myself as having failed them and have internalized that feeling that I'm partly responsible for this divorce.
Sure.
That is the thing.
100%. And again, I think the last shot there would be, you need to forgive yourself. Just final question, Murud, before I let you go, and maybe this is going to be a very quick one, because you've already explained in cases of where someone decides to step down, but there's no moral sin or any kind of sin. It's just they're overwhelmed and they decide to step down. Should we still call that failure? Can't we just find another word for that? Because I think that person, for me, in my eyes, Lomdu Londi, I've got so much respect for Lamdu than, and again, this is not to pass judgment, but I've got so much respect for Lamdu than someone who has maybe committed moral sin or any form of sin.
Yeah.
Because,
I fully agree with you.
Sure.
Yeah. And they are simply setting aside, really, you know. And in fact, we should be honoring that. more than anything. And I know some people are saying, wait, I heard someone, you know, saying, but if these people were called by God and then, you know, do this, it means they were not called in the first place. So we can sometimes be very insensitive.
That's very harsh.
On these matters. Until sometimes these things hit home.
Yeah.
Then you know how it feels, you know, when they hit home. But I think for me, that is an honorable thing. A man who steps down, not because of anything, not because of any abuse, not because of spiritual abuse or leadership abuse, not because of, you know, he stole money or he's mistreating his family and so forth. And in fact, I think that Khasmini, that is something we, you know, that we constantly need to honor. In fact, that's the problem.
Yep.
You know. You know, this one that is supposed to be stepping down, you know, and that is supposed to be staying.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, are the ones that really who are doing an honorable thing. Why? Because they know that anymore they can't cope. And sometimes, you know, and sometimes that's why I love this topic. Yeah. Sometimes they're stepping down because of mental illness.
Mm.
They can't cope with the pressure.
Yes.
They can't cope with the stress and sometimes feel depressed.
Yes,
and also, so they are dealing with serious mental issues.
Yes,
you know, and they feel like it's time to step aside. And so, I honor this topic because it's such an important one for pastors.
Yes,
and as we know, recently, especially in 2019, we heard of so many pastors that committed suicide who had thriving ministries.
Mm-hmm.
Ministries seem to have been going well,
mm-hmm.
but yet these men they took their own lives.
Sure. Yeah. And I think there's a parting shot, Murad. I think the beauty of it is that as they step down in their respective roles, they are not stepping down from the Lord. They are not leaving God.
Correct. But
they are really looking out for their own health and their well-being, and even sometimes for the betterment of their family. So, yeah, for this. I really appreciate your time, the effort, and really the insight that you shared, kule topic. And I think, to the listeners, it's time that we start revisiting even the seminars that we have around leadership, and we start to talk about real issues. Kesime ngo five steps, not 10 steps to achieving a big church and all of that. Nyani kesi chonge zindo zilumzi. But the reality is that often abantu baba depressed, bathi babe suicidal, bathi bafeel chenye indlela. Kabandi that it shows the level of care that they had for this work. So much that and so I think these are the kind of topics and many others, mfundisi, it's not a case esikwala sele engakumbi kini nabantu bazinkokheli kwi seminars zenu anything esinqokolo, so that ingakumbi xa kwangena abafundisi abatsha bancinci bangene bayibone beyazi into kubana there is a way out should you find it, that kunzima. But also there are other men who've walked their journey ahead of you. Boxing, kuliwe for 1 minute or 2 minutes.
Then
That is good. You take a knee, then you come back. Because I think nomdo is always welcome to come back, because just overwhelmed. And so, but I think it's going to take a course from Manubulele Kakuru. Thank you very much for your time. Truly appreciate.
Thank you. Bless you.
Hierdie inset word aan jou gebring met die komplimente van Radio Kaapse Kansel 729 AM. Besoek ons gerus by www.capepulpit.co.za.